Welcome to the C3 Church Noosa podcast. Stay tuned for this week's message.
Here I am before you. Let's just stay in that place for one last moment. Thank you, Lord. Those lyrics says, Lord, I give you my heart and my soul. I just want to take a moment for you to open up your heart and your soul to Him this morning to receive His word. And I tell you what, it'll make it so much easier for me to preach the word to you as you open up. I find as we harden our hearts, we try and protect ourselves, we're going through stuff, but being in the house of God, allow the Holy Spirit just massage you this morning. Some of us need a massage. Some of us are tight and tense. You know what I mean? You know when you need a massage, you're sore? But let the Holy Spirit just massage you right now to open up your heart and your soul. Thank you, Jesus. If you want to, just lift your hands. Just say, God, I'm yours. I open my heart to receive your word this morning. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are present in this place. You are welcome in this place this morning. God, let us drop all our weights, all our anxieties, all our worries, all our fears right now at the altar. And God, we give you all. Father, I just pray for this word, Lord God, that it will penetrate into the heart and the soul of every single person in this house this morning. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, let's just give him space. Let's just give him a moment. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, just come here this morning. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Good's that. Come on. Yeah, a bit of a massage from the Holy Spirit. Come on. That's what we need at times. We can tense up. We can clamp up. What's happening here, babe? Pulling it down. He's saying, pull something down. I'm pulling the microphone down. These are awkward. Anyway, you can hear me. Doesn't matter. I've got three eyes, apparently. Do I look like I've got three eyes? All good. No, but you know what? God's here. And he wants to massage. Sometimes it hurts. He needs to get into those pressure points. There's some little areas in our life that need to be released this morning. Amen? Amen? Amen. Why don't you give the person a high five? Say, I'm excited about the word this morning. It might press on some little sore points, some pressure points. I don't know about you, but I love a good massage. It hurts, but we need a bit of release. The toxins build up in our bodies, and that's like our hearts and our minds. The toxins of the world build up over time, and we need the massaging of the Holy Spirit just to bring release. But it takes you and I to say, you are welcome. You are welcome to have hands on my life. Amen. Why don't you guys move forward? There's some empty seats here. Come on. Come on, Nick and Michelle and Lisa. I don't bite. I smell okay this morning. But you know what? It takes us to go, Holy Spirit, you are welcome in my world. Amen. You are welcome to massage those areas of my world. Anyway, but I'm excited you're all looking at me saying, yeah, I agree, because I need it. Come on. You know, I'm excited about the word this morning. I'm really excited. I'm going to hopefully preach a message that will touch your hearts, inspire you, might challenge you. But this message, I was sitting in church last week and I felt God say, yes, that is what I want you to share on. That's what I want you to speak. We're in a month of talking about in the middle. And Christian preached an amazing word last week about being in the middle of life and in situations. There's a beginning and the end, but most of our life we're in the middle of something. And I'm just going to continue on with that. And the title of my message today is called Spoken Words. And the scripture in Proverbs 18:21, it says, the tongue has the power of life or death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. And it is so true that our words, our tongue, what we speak, either brings life or brings death. And we need to be reminded of that at times. I love that scripture. And I've been reading in my Bible reading plan And I know we labor on this, but we need to be reminded. I want to encourage you to get a Bible reading plan on your phone. It is so easy. This is important too. This is great to actually physically have your Bible. I want to encourage you as your leader and pastor in this house, bring your Bible to church. Because I know I have my phone, I take notes, but sometimes I go, man, that scripture was for me, and I'll underline it, I'll highlight it, and I'll go back and look. This is a messy Bible. This is mostly Christian. I stole his Bible today. This is a used Bible. Some people get a Bible and they go, I don't want to touch it. I don't want to write on it. It's precious. No, use it. It's good because we need to write notes. So am I okay saying that to you today? But you know, I've been reading my Bible reading plan, and there's so many things that we can choose. But I've been reading a plan, and it's about the 40-day word fast. And oh my goodness, it's incredible. And it basically touches on that we live in a world today, and the most spoken words of society today are words of judgment, are words of criticism, words of sarcasm. I can't stand sarcasm. Sorry, I'm one of those people. I can take things, but enough's enough. Words of negativity, words of complaining, gossip, and so on. They are the words that society speak today. It just falls out of our lips. You know, these words escape our mouths so quickly. Even before we realize it, it's like suddenly words have slipped and they've gone past our lips without even paying attention. You know what I'm talking about? And we've all felt into that trap and we're like, oh, if I could only bring those words back, if I could only like turn back the clock and I didn't say that, or I didn't mean that. But that scripture, the power of the tongue brings life or death. And part of Matthew 12:34 says, from the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. So true. Is out of the mouth, the heart speaks. How the condition of our heart is what comes out of our mouth. What is the condition of your heart today, church? It's a good question to check week in and week out. What is the condition of my heart? What are the words that are coming out of my mouth? What am I filling my mind with? What am I filling my heart with? Who are the influences in my world? And, we can hold on to these habits and sometimes have to stop and go, what are the areas of weakness in my world? And in Proverbs 10:11, it says, the words of the godly lead to life, and the evil people cover up harmful intentions. And you know what? I was thinking about scriptures that we can meditate on to help remind us, and I just want to speak these out this morning, that we can fill our hearts and our mind with good, with God. Amen? So Colossians 4:6, it says, let your conversation always be full of grace. I love this. Be seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everybody. Proverbs 12:18 says, the words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise bring healing. I don't know about you, but I want wise words to come out of my mouth. I want healing words to come out of my mouth that's going to lift up people and help people. Psalm 149:3 says, set a guard over my mouth. Lord, keep watch over the doors of my lips. So true, because so easily the doors open and stuff comes out. It's like, God, guard my lips. Keep watch over the doors of my lips. Amen. You know, why am I touching on this? I was thinking about, you know, when we walk through situations, when we're in the middle, the theme of the month is where we make a decision in the middle to either speak life or death. And we have a choice to make. It's in one moment everything can change. So true. Overnight, a situation happens in one moment. We don't know what life is going to throw at us in one moment. And when I was preparing and praying on this message, I was reminded of the movie Nemo. You know, the kids' movie. I love that movie. I'm still a child. I love kids' movies. I actually prefer to watch kids' movies because they're still a bit pure and innocent. They don't fill your mind with rubbish. But I just want you to watch this clip in Nemo, and then I'll labor on it. Dory!
Ah! Hey, what you doing?
It's gone. I lost the mask.
Would you drop it?
You dropped it! That was my only chance of finding my son. Now it's gone!
Hey, Mr. Grumpy Gills.
When life gets you down, you know what you gotta do?
I don't wanna know what you gotta do.
Just keep swimming, just keep swimming, just keep swimming, swimming, swimming. What do? We swim, swim.
Dorian, I'm swimming.
I love to swim. And when you want to swim, you want
See,
to
I'm gonna get stuck now with that song now it's in my head.
Sorry.
Love it. Just keep swimming, just keep swimming. You're going to be singing that all day, aren't you, church? Just keep swimming. You know, what? Why I wanted to show that is it actually came to my mind, and I thought about the movie Nemo, and when there was that moment when his son got taken, in a moment, everything changed. And he was in the middle of a situation that he had to go and find his son. And he's out in the ocean not knowing where to go, and he obviously bumps into the crazy old Dory, that's it, the blue chick. She's female, isn't she? I'm sure she's female. Anyway, she's female in my eyes. And that scene shows this moment where, you know, something came against them. And to Nemo, the goggles were going to actually make the difference and going to help them find his son. But the goggles got, you know, they've fallen off and they lost the goggles and everything changed. And he's like, well, I give up. But having his friend come alongside him and saying, well, are you going to sit there? Are you just going to sink? Are you just going to give up? Or are you going to keep going? We have a mission. We're going to find your son. Let's keep swimming. And I was thinking, in life, we have a moment where we're in the middle of a situation and we don't know what to do and life takes us out. Are we going to make a decision to sink or swim? I don't know about you, but I know that at times I need to go, Melissa, just keep swimming. I've been around the pool too much lately, but one arm stroke at a time, one breath at a time, I will just keep swimming. I'm not going to let the obstacles and the things that come against me take me down. You know, like Nemo, is that in the middle of that situation to finding his son, there was challenges. It took a fight, but the end result, he found his son. But it didn't come without a fight. It didn't come with challenges. It didn't come with growth. It didn't come with you know, ease, but he had a moment where he said, I got to keep going. I got to keep going. It's like the Holy Spirit might say to you, just keep swimming. Just keep going. You can do it. Amen? And this comes to me to actually share just really briefly, and I felt to share this, to tie this in my message of a story and a situation that happened to us 18 months ago, which some of you do know and have stood and prayed with us, to our daughter Ella. Now, things happen, and things in a moment changes everything. It was a freak accident, but the story and the outcome today is incredible of God's miraculous power and his faithfulness, which I want to preach out of and tie in about the spoken words and what God has done in my life to keep standing on his word. Amen. So, you know, 18 months ago, we were going through a bit of a tough time. Things were coming against us, and we were feeling very bruised and battered emotionally and mentally. And Christian got a phone call from some friends of his in New Zealand saying, we're on the Gold Coast for a holiday. We're going to Whitewater World. Why don't you come and meet us for the day? And Christian said, why don't we give the kids a day off from school? And I'm like, oh, no, maybe we can't do that. And he's like, come on, this would just be great. We just need this as a family. And I'm like, everything in me said no, but then I went, let's do it. So we hop in the car, we give the kids a day off from school, we head down thinking, yep, we're going to have a great day with the kids, catch up with these people, just switch off from what's going on, feeling very deflated. Anyway, we get there, and an hour later, the kids are having fun, going down the water slides, and Christian's friends arrive. And I meet them for the very first time, and our introduction lasted all of like 30 seconds. And I said, hi, Trent, so great to meet you. And he says, yeah, this is my daughter, Ella. I said, hi, Ella, I've got a daughter, Ella, too. And here she comes. And here comes my daughter, Ella, running towards me with blood pouring out of her face. And I just looked at her, and her front tooth, adult tooth, was gone. And in a moment, everything changed. In a moment, as a mother, you go, that's her adult tooth. It's not her baby tooth, that's her adult tooth. Oh my goodness, and you freeze, you are numb, and you're sitting there going, oh my goodness, what do you do? And then Christian came back, And I just remember it was actually quite a blur, but then a lifeguard came over and Christian's friends were amazing, and they sort of took Ella aside and they started praying for her, and I'm trying to work out what happened, what went on. And then all I remember is Christian taking Ella to the first aid room, and then the lifeguard taking me over to the water slide saying, "Do you know where she came down?" I said, "I'm just numb, going, I've got no idea. There's a million water slides, there's water flowing down, there's drains everywhere. You know, like, how can you find a tooth?" And then it was like about 20 seconds later, he put his hand down into the water and he goes, "Is this her tooth?" Now that is a miracle in itself. Come on. Hello. True story. And I just stood there and went, "That's her tooth." And he goes, "Come with me." And I'm like, "Sure, what do we do now?" And he said, "Well, if we can get it into a milk solution, we can, I'm not a dentist, but preserve it, hold it for as long as possible." So we run to the first aid room. Christian's there. Ella's about to pass out. Now, if you know my daughter, she is not the bravest little cookie. Oh, my goodness. And I thought, if any child, this is not happening to Ella. If it was Zach or Noah, yeah, we could cope. But Ella, and all these things are flooding through my mind. And then in a moment, the first aid people are on the phone, and we're just trying to calm Ella down and make sure she's not passing out. She hasn't lost too much blood. Anyway, they call the closest dentist. We get Ella in the car. We whisk over to the dentist, and I'm sitting in the waiting room going, "Okay," and I'm being the brave mum full of faith, and Ella's in shock saying, "It's okay, sweetie, all we have to do is just get this tooth back in your mouth." And anyway, we get in there 20 minutes later, and the procedure begins, and I stood at the door. Christian was in there, and I just felt as mum, because I knew I wouldn't be any benefit to Ella sitting by her side, where Christian's amazing in this situation. And I just stood at the door, and for that pretty much 45-minute procedure of getting the tooth back in her mouth, numbing her gum with the big needle that, if Ella saw that, she would scream and run out the door, and stitch her gum up because it split as well. I stood at the door and I literally just stood there and prayed under my breath for 45 minutes because that's all I could do. I thought, we have to get this tooth back in. We have to get this tooth back in. This is a miracle. We even found this tooth, and it was still in one piece, not shattered, and it had a little chip off the front. Anyway, the procedure happened. We got the needle in. We got the tooth back in, and I'm thinking, oh, thank you, Lord. It's all over. It's all good. Now we can move on. It's not until we get out, the dentist pulls me aside and gives me the report, the negative report that I didn't want to hear. I just dealt with that. One of the most traumatic things that you could walk through with your child. And even the dental assistant, she was like, "I've never seen anything like that. That was pretty horrifying." I'm thinking in my head, that's why I wasn't sitting on that side of Ella. I was standing at the door. Because my husband's amazing in those situations. Anyway, the negative report floods in. This is, yeah, we got the tooth back in. That's one thing. But that's major nerve damage to the tooth. It's probably not going to last. She's going to need ongoing root canal treatment. That might not even work. She could need a dent. She might need an implant. All of this, you know, as a 10-year-old girl, it's her front tooth. And just the shock of the story, and I remember sitting in the car and she's all, you know, bandaged, braced up, and going home, and questions start flooding, and, you know, emotion, and just going, we're just going to get through this healing process. 2 weeks later, we get to the dentist just for a follow-up checkup, do the x-ray, all great, positive report. The dentist did an amazing job, put it in the right spot. You know, she couldn't have done a more of a perfect job. And again, just the, okay, this is what can happen. And from there on, it was a walk of totally trusting God and believing Him for the best outcome for Ella and her tooth. And why I'm telling you this is that through that, for me personally, I was led to the story in the Bible, the death of Lazarus, from my sister-in-law. And through a bad report, through the negative reports of this accident that kept flooding my mind, I was able to read this. I read this so many times, and that is what I stood on and have stood on for the last 18 months to continually ignite faith and belief, and to, with the power of my tongue, speak life into that tooth and into that situation and not death. Amen. And it was a decision as a mother. I had to stand into the gap of my daughter and the faith of my husband to shift my dish, which you've heard before, to what was, but to shift and not focus on the outcome and the worst case scenario, to shift my dish to God and His word and his faith for the situation. Amen. And at times when we're in the middle of a situation, we have to make a decision to shift our dish, because it's like we're surrounded, we're focused on the situation. But God says, lift your eyes and shift it to me, the author and the perfecter of your faith, and get my words and speak my word over your situation. Amen. And the story is in John 11. And if you have your Bibles, turn to it. But otherwise, the scripture is going to be on the screen that I want to preach out of. And just encourage you and inspire you in your spoken words, in the middle of your situation or whatever life throws at you, you can speak life, not death. But sometimes things have to die before things are resurrected and bring back to life. Amen. So John 11, it starts with, a man named Lazarus was sick. He lived in Bethany with his sisters, Mary and Martha. This is the Mary who later poured the expensive perfume on the Lord's feet and wiped them with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was sick. So the two sisters sent a message to Jesus telling him, Lord, your dear friend is very sick. But when Jesus heard about it, he said, Lazarus' sickness will not end in death. Hear that? Will not. There were Jesus right there. That were his spoken words. Will not end in death. No, it happened for the glory of God, so that the Son of God will receive glory from this. So although Jesus loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, he stayed where he was for the next 2 days. Finally, he said to the disciples, let's go back to Judea. Verse 8, but his disciples objected. Rabbi, they said, only a few days ago the people in Judea were trying to stone you. Are you going there again? And then we go down to verse 12. We'll skip to verse 12. It says, the disciples said, Lord, if he is sleeping, he will soon get better. They thought Jesus meant Lazarus was simply sleeping, but Jesus meant Lazarus had died. So he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And for your sakes, I'm glad I wasn't there, for you will really now believe. I mean, I know if I was in that situation, you were glad you went there. Now he's dead. But there was reason. There was method to Jesus' madness. I like that saying. There's method to my madness. That if he was there in a moment, yeah, he could have healed him. But there was reason why Jesus didn't go straight away, because he was giving his disciples and his people another opportunity to believe in him, to believe that he was the Messiah, to believe that he was the healer, to believe that he was the Almighty One. And says, come, let's go and see him. You know what? What I said before is that in the middle of that situation with Ella, that I had to rise up in the gap and stand in the gap for my daughter and believe when only fear and worry was gripping me. And I couldn't even talk about it to Ella. I couldn't even talk about the outcome and what could be. But all I could do was pray and shout and stomp. Now, if you saw me on my prayer walk, you think that I had a few issues. But no, I would find a quiet place and I would pray, I would stomp, I would declare. Because as I did, fear lifted off me, worry lifted off me, and I felt faith rise up in me. And I would declare this scripture. I would say, Jesus, just like the story in the Bible of Lazarus, that you spoke life into a dead situation. And that's what I had to do. And you know what? I spoke his word. I didn't speak the words of the report that we had received. I didn't speak the words of the what was going to happen, because in doctor's eyes, that's it. This is what's going to happen. I spoke his word. And I love this scripture in Hebrews 4:12. It says, for the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting soul and spirit. Oh my goodness, I've got goosebumps reading this scripture. Between joint and marrow, it exposes our inmost thoughts and desires. I love that. His word is alive today, church. It is more alive than anything on this earth today. It will cut greater than a two-edged sword between soul and spirit. Amen? I don't know if that excites you. If that excites you, give him a hand, because I think that deserves a hand. It is alive. It is powerful. And sometimes we need to get to throw a bit of force. I need to shout. I need to get excited, because the life we live takes us out at times. And we get timid. we get thrown back, we lose our confidence. But God wants in you to ignite a passion again, to ignite that spirit of faith, hey? And get on fire and speak his word, because that's all I could do, church. I could sit there, I could live in worry and fear and anxiety, because, you know, it's a small thing. But for a 10-year-old girl, that's a massive thing. And it's, you know, we're thinking finances with orthodontics and dentists and more treatment for Ella that she would not even sit in that chair. So all of those things, I'm like, God, you have to help us here. So in verse 16, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, said to the fellow disciples, let's go to and die with Jesus. When Jesus arrived at Bethany, he was told that Lazarus had already been in the grave for 4 days. So Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. Now Jesus, as I said before, could have gone, could have prayed, he would have been alive and well. But Jesus didn't go for 4 days. He was dead for 4 days. Say, in the middle.
In the middle.
In the middle. In the middle. There's a song. In the middle of your waiting, of the unknown, what is going to happen next? How long is this going to go on for? I can't keep taking this. I can't keep walking through this. But some things have to die before life comes. You know, and here in this scripture, in this story, here is a true example of this, is that Jesus could have come straight away, but he wanted God's name to be famous. And in verse 18, it reads on, Bethany was only a few miles down the road from Jerusalem, and many of the people had come to console Martha and Mary in their loss. When Martha got word that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary stayed in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would have not died. But even now I know that God will give whatever you ask. Jesus told her, your brother will rise again. The spoken word. He will rise again. Yes, Martha said, he will rise when everyone else rises at the last day. Verse 25, Jesus told her, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this, Martha? Church, do you believe this today? In the middle of what you're going through, do you believe? Do you believe the word of God? Even though everything in you says, oh, I don't know, he just says, just trust. Just believe me. Hold on to my word. And then we go down to verse 38, and it says, Jesus was still angry when he arrived at the tomb and carved with a stone rolled across its entrance. Roll the stone aside, Jesus said to them. But hear this. But Martha, Lazarus' sister, protested, Lord, he has been dead for 4 days. The smell will be terrible. Now here, Martha's stating the obvious. He's been dead for 4 days. Where have you been? And it's you're going to roll the stone away and it's going to smell. She was focusing on what was. The spoken words were negativity and doubt. And for us in this situation with Ella, of either rushing to what the doctor said, the dentist said, right, rushing to root canal. It's not going to be one treatment. It's going to be numerous and numerous. We need to savor this root. But we don't know. It can be one knock and the tooth can fall out. And then we're going to have to rip the whole thing out. She might have to have a dentured tooth for a while, an implant, all of that. And any person would think that we were stupid to even wait. But everything in me felt so unsettled. And every time I spoke to the specialist, I felt churned up. I just didn't feel at ease. And I felt prompted to, but with God's wisdom, to just get second opinions, just to look into things and go, yes, she does need orthodontic treatment. So what does that mean if she has this treatment? And but through that, I had to just hold on to faith. And in that process, you know, not to be bullied and rushed, but I felt I had to just lean into God and trust him and watch him move, but also be wise at the same time. And the things that we did just naturally to help her and just get some second opinions. And in the outcome is that the outcome was a better scenario for Ella than if I'd just taken the advice from the specialist. And in the middle, when you're walking through a situation, Jesus says to us, understand that in the middle of your trouble, I still love you, and I want to see you access the power I have for you through faith. And that's it. In the middle, I still love you. But you can access my power, my faith. Trust me, I will never leave you, never forsake you. And in verse 40, it says, Jesus replied, didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believe? So they rolled the stone away. Then Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me. But I said it out loud for the sake of all these people standing here, so that they will believe you sent me. Then Jesus shouted, Lazarus, come out. Here Jesus spoke life. He says, Lazarus, come out. That was his spoken word, life. He didn't not come. He didn't say, I'm sorry, that's it. Jesus said, come out. But there was reason. And through that whole scripture, I felt God give that revelation to me. Melissa, sometimes I allow things to die until they rise again. And the story continues. 8 months on from April last year, when we went back, and it had been 6 months since we'd had the x-ray, and she gets a checkup, she sits in the chair, the x-ray happens, and it's not good. The tooth in 6 months has rapidly deteriorated, the root has broken down, and they're like, an infection's probably about to start, we need to get in there straight away and start root canal. And that was the process of us doing some other research, getting second opinion, going, you know what, we're going to fork out so much money and it's not even going to last. It was still a miracle that her tooth still looked white, because usually by now, if the nerve is dead, it starts going black. So that's April last year. End of last year, December, just gone by 3 months ago. We go back. She has a checkup. But before we went, Ella's saying, Mummy, I don't want them to take a photo. She's still very fearful. We still hadn't talked about what could be. I'm trying to protect her as a mum. And I said, Ella, remember that chat we had in the car that day when you were crying? And I said, I'm not going to cry. And I said, Ella, do you believe that everything's going to be okay? And she said, yes, Mummy. And I said, you know what? Everything we're doing is going to help you, but you have to trust God that the outcome's going to be the best for you. She said, okay, Mummy, when you see your daughter crying and she's so fearful, you have to be so brave as a mum. So before we had that appointment in December just gone by, I said, Ella, it's going to be okay. We have prayed, we have believed, and I said, God, I've been standing on this word, and I know you are faithful. We have been doing everything in the natural to build her immune system up, and we've been praying and believing. We go into the dentist room, and I thought, well, she doesn't have a choice now, because our dentist, Jackie's in charge. She has the checkup. It's time for the x-ray. So this is 8 months from the last one. And I just before I said to Jackie, I said, once you're done, we'll send Ella out. Then you can talk to me. All done. Ella like looks at me. She walks out. I shut the door. And I'm standing over here and I'm looking at the screen, and it's everything when I prayed, I had pictured what I was praying for. And I look at the screen and I'm like, doesn't look different to the other one. She calls me over and she said, this is the x-ray when it first happened. This is the x-ray 6 months on, rapidly deteriorated. And you were told to quickly get some treatment straight away. This is now 8 months on. The tooth has not deteriorated. It is the same as 8 months ago. And she just looked. She could not believe it. And I just stood there and went, praise be to God. We've been praying. We're believing. So if obviously it had deteriorated, we would have known. There would have been pain. There would have been infection. But the dentist, she's talking, and she's like, okay, so, you know, then we can probably just keep going down the path of what you were saying with your orthodontist, and just take the tooth out, put the braces on. It's amazing what they can do, bring the teeth across. She'll never have to have a fake tooth. The story goes on. Well, I won't bore you with the details. But the amazing thing out of that is that everything in me, I didn't believe, but I made a decision to believe. And when I was praying, when I was speaking this scripture, I said, God, the story is of Lazarus. You could have gone straight away, but you waited 4 days because you wanted your people to believe. You wanted to give them an opportunity to believe. And I felt in my own life, that's what God was doing. And when I would pray, I would say, God, I believe, I see on that screen, that x-ray, I see a different tooth. And I kept speaking it. Now, no, the tooth isn't totally restored, but it had not deteriorated in 8 months, where prior it had rapidly deteriorated in 6 months. And I think God needs a hand here this morning to say he is worthy to be praised. He's a miracle-working God. He is dead, not alive. Amen. And the journey continues, which God knows. God knows the desires of your hearts. And sometimes, as I said, in the middle, things come against us, things are thrown at us, and we go, why? We question. We don't know why, because we live in a fallen world. But sometimes God takes us through, and he says, do you trust me? Like the movie Nemo, his son got taken. Everything changed. He could have given up. But someone came alongside him and said, don't give up. Like my sister-in-law said, Melissa, don't give up. Read this scripture. And that's what got me through. That's what stood me in the gap for my daughter's miracle. And not even that, God is doing a work in my daughter's life. And something shifted in her. And I remember when I walked out and told her the report, and I said, Ella, your tooth has not got worse. It's a miracle that it's still the same. It's still holding there. And this is 8 months on. I said, see, sweetie, everything we've been doing, everything we've been believing, and the smile on her face. But not only in my life, but God's doing something in her little life to believe, because she's a girl that gets fearful. She gets gripped with fear and anxiety at times. But just seeing God work in her life as she grows. Amen? So I want you to stand here this morning. And I want to ask you this question. What is it for you in the middle? What words are you speaking? Is it life and death into your circumstance, into your situation? Or it might just be how you speak on a daily basis. You might just, you know, be a judgmental person. You might be a critical person. You might gossip. You might, you know, use bad language at times. But what is it God saying for you today? Is that my words need to bring life, not death? Are your words seasoned with grace and life and positivity? Ask yourself, how can I become more intentional about speaking words of praise and thankfulness and adoration on a daily basis? You know, like I said, judgment, criticism, sarcasm, negativity, complaints, gossip, we need to replace with praise and thanksgiving. These are the words that we need to daily make a decision that come out of our mouth is praise. Is thanksgiving. And sometimes everything in us does not want to. And at times I feel like the enemy grips my mouth when I want to, and everything in me is saying, I know I need to speak faith. I know I need to speak praise. I know I need to speak positivity. But everything in me doesn't. And it takes a fight. It takes a decision. And as I do, it's like praying. It takes a decision. Everything in you, your spirit is weary, your spirit is dry, your spirit is just exhausted, but it takes a fight. It takes a decision, and as you do, it opens something up. It activates your spirit to link with his spirit. And I want to finish with this scripture, Psalm 34:1. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. Amen. I want you to declare that. What is it for you today? What are the spoken words that come out of your mouth on a daily basis in the middle of a situation? I just want the Holy Spirit just to come and massage you this morning. And he will reveal, yeah, to you saying, my daughter, my son. Yeah, these are areas that I'd love you to identify. I'd love you to be more intentional with the words. You might be in the middle of a situation, and that word, I want to encourage you to read that story in John, the story of Lazarus. I read it, I think, about 50 times. And every time I read it, I got something new out of it. something, a new revelation, something that encouraged me, something that got me through and has got us through a situation with our daughter. So why don't you just lift your hands and just allow God just to come, like I said at the beginning, just to start massaging those pressure points, those areas you know that need to be released in your world. Thank you, Lord. Let every word that comes out of your mouth be seasoned with salt, with grace, with purity. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, I just thank you right now that you are doing a work in your people. God, I just thank you. Lord, this word will just touch the hearts and the souls of every single person standing in front of me. God, they can take away something for them in their life. One little thing that they can make a change. Or one scripture that they can hold on to, Lord. Thank you, Father. If that word spoke to you, why don't you just lift your hand? And I just want to pray for you right now. Lift your hand high. I want to pray. Awesome. Anybody else? Thank you, Jesus. You might be in the middle of a situation. You just need to keep swimming. Just keep swimming. One foot in front of the other. One arm stroke at a time. One breath at a time. Thank you, Lord. Speak His words. Speak His word. Speak His scriptures. Thank you, Holy Spirit. God, I thank you for every single person with their hand lifted. God, that you will touch their lives and their hearts. You will give them everything they need, Lord God. You'll give them the courage. You'll give them the faith. You'll give them the belief. In the middle of their situation, in the middle of what life throws us, in one moment, everything can change. But God, through your grace, through your mercy, God, you are molding us. You are shaping us. You are building our character. Lord, you are testing us. But Lord, you love us. You never leave us. You never forsake us. And God, I thank you, Father. I thank you, Lord Jesus, Lord, that we speak life and we don't speak death. Lord God, let life come out of our mouth. Let every word that is spoken be life-changing, be life-building in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.
Thanks for listening to the C3 Church Noosa podcast. Visit us online at c3noosa.org.